Hello there, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a part two of a two-parter with my friend Ben. Hopefully he's your friend too. He's a friend of the show. He is a buddy of mine who started listening to the podcast and then started watching NYPD Blue, and next thing you know, he was three seasons in because he was binging it. So I wanted to talk to him about the perspective of watching NYPD Blue for the first time and binging it. As you know, NYPD Blue came out in the 90s, early 90s, went on for 12 years. It was never binged before. It was shown every week and then in reruns. So I sat down with Ben to talk about what it's like to watch The Blue in a binge fashion on Hulu. This is the second part. The first part is on AshBrothersPodcast.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast. Anyway, enough of me talking. It's time to talk to Ben about binging NYPD Blue here on NYPD Blue Balls. Is it interesting to see just how many random actors so far have been on it? Because you're only in three seasons. And I know there are people in episodes, like in season 10 and 11, that when I got to them, I was like, that's insane that they got... Because I think Adam Scott was in one of the episodes.
He was. I saw him, I thought, what's he doing here?
Also, does he not age?
That's an even better question.
Because that was 10 years ago. He looks exactly the same.
He looks a little bit more baby-faced then.
Okay,
I would say a little more. But yeah, it's incredible to see all these, I would say, big name actors that we know now from big series. I thought it is funny because you saw both the brother-in-law and the wife from Breaking Bad in this show, and I'm thinking, did they solely do casting from this show?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then even in the last podcast, you said even like Bosch, he was in there. And one of my roommates was watching the show on Amazon Prime, and that's the only reason I know that actor. It's because of that, and I saw him.
And for the crazy Lost heads out there, he was the man in black in Lost. And I remember, because he's on that show for a while, because he's kind of like the doctor that they talk to on NYPD Blue. Because I remember watching the show, and I was like, oh, Man in Black, he's from something, I just don't remember. And then I started watching it again with Kyle, and I was like, oh my gosh, he was on NYPD Blue for, I think, like five seasons, just off and on. And it's crazy, like, Anna Gunn, like you mentioned, the wife of...
Walter White.
So, there's Leah Remini, who was in one of the recent episodes.
Right, as the wife from King of Queens.
The wife of King of Queens, and now Scientology stopping. With television, I guess. It is crazy how, and there's going to be some people, I think there's going to be some people that when you see them, you're going to, first thing you're going to think kind of the Adam Scott thing, how old are they?
Right.
And then the second thing is going to be kind of like a, what's his name? Gus Fring from Breaking Bad's in the show.
Oh.
The guy, Ferdinand, who had AIDS that was sticking up drug dealers.
Oh, that was him?
That was him.
Oh, man, I didn't even realize.
So it's crazy how many people have been on NYPD Blue. One of my favorite tweets, and I liked it on the show Twitter, was, are you even really an actor if you haven't been on NYPD Blue?
That's a good question.
That's good.
I think it was in season three. One of the guys that supposedly robbed some of the guy, you would recognize the way he looks. He had like the super tall, bleached blonde hair, the Hispanic looking guy.
Yes.
It's funny to see that actor, because I don't remember his name for the life of me, but he was in a show called The Closer with Keir Sedgwick as a police officer, so I'm thinking, like, did you start as a criminal, and now you're acting as a cop? Oh, and Danny Trejo was in there, too.
Danny Trejo.
I didn't know why.
And that was also a young Danny Trejo.
That was.
Which is a very strange thing to see.
He was less wrinkled, less scarred, and... Actually, even see him as a superstitious Mexican man. I'll tell you, Mexicans, we are superstitious. We are very.
And he thought, oh, why are the cops seeing me? That was a great joke where they pretended like he was invisible.
Exactly.
Are there any characters on the show that you've loved or hated that we don't talk about as much, or we talked about way too much?
Not really. I think you have a good balance of the characters. I mean, I would say Martinez has been an interesting character through and through the series. Mm-hmm. You really see him develop into the more detective role than from the beginning, because the first season I saw him, he's wearing all these goofy shirts that are like Bill Cosby sweaters. I'm like, what's this guy doing here? And then you see him actually harden up. And then you see him get the balls to ask out, what's your face?
Was it Lesniak?
Lesniak, I think.
Yeah. Which was, that was a...
Yeah. And which accident. Actually does remind me of a question that I had for you. The whole Lesniak coming out as a lesbian and then backtracking on that. What are your thoughts as, and even...
As a lesbian myself.
Yeah. So I mean, no, but I mean, as like a product of the time of how that was kind of controversial now, or then. It's still kind of controversial now, and even if you do come out that way, because when she did, she told Medavoy, Medavoy told Martinez, and then he told another officer at the front desk, and then word spread like wildfire. It felt like she was kind of getting written off, in my opinion. I could have felt like that would have been sexual discrimination.
I think, I don't know if we cut it out, or maybe it just wasn't recording. That whole sequence is one of the weirdest written things, I think, in the show, because early 90s, mid 90s, homosexuality just as an idea, it's becoming more accepted and not accepted at the same time, where people are like, yeah, you're gay, but they just still don't understand it. So then they'll like either attribute things that aren't true or just ignore it or whatever. But the Lesniak thing really felt like either A, she's a confused person with homosexual tendencies, or B, she's just using this to get rid of a dude.
Right.
Which is completely fucked up in both sides.
It is.
Because either A, their response is really terrible, or B, what she did was really terrible.
Right.
Because one of my favorite characters, and I'll say it forever, John, who we've spoiled it before, he becomes the PAA at some point, but he is my favorite character.
Yes.
Because John, he's gay, and he's a bit of a stereotype.
He is.
But he's also, like, not a bad dude.
Right.
Like, Jack from Will and Grace, he's a stereotype, and he's over the top, but also he's sometimes, like, a dick for no reason.
Right.
John always seems like, I'm just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but here's what I am.
And you even see that when he reports to Simone about one of his friends being roughed up at a different precinct for being gay. And I thought, okay, that's a pretty good man. Like, he's not being upfront about it or anything like that.
And the way the show is somehow really for homosexuality in terms of like, okay, accepted, guys, get over it. But then the way they portray it sometimes is so off and weird that it's clearly just, in my opinion, of course, writers who don't really know what it's like to be gay.
Right.
So if they had some gay writers in there to be like, okay, this is what it's really like. Because there's characters, I'll highlight one. It's a very, very quick character. There was like a case involving a club that did, it was a gay club that, and on some nights they had like lesbian night, and some nights they had guy night.
Yeah.
And they bring in the lesbian woman who runs it on those lesbian nights. And it was a great portrayal of a lesbian because it was just like a woman sitting there answering the questions. And then she was like, so what, you guys partying in the bathrooms or doing this? He's like, we just like girls, man. Like, that was like her response.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really cool. But then you have like, look, Martinez, I'm gay.
Which feels like, again, it's a cop-out.
And then she's like, okay, well, maybe I'm not gay. Maybe I'm just confused. And then you're like, okay.
And then you see her develop into a, okay, we're an item. Now I'm going to be super jealous of everything that happens.
So it really leaves you thinking, okay, she's just a bad person.
Right.
Which doesn't help her character. And I think one of the reasons she was kind of whisked away is because she just doesn't.
Oh, man, spoiler alert. I'm not at that point yet.
Well, I forgot to mention. I'm editing the last episode of season 3. That is her last episode, but they don't give her like a finale. Yeah. It's just she does not show up in season 4. So
okay.
But that was one of the weirdest things. That was one of those, like, I feel like they were trying to make a statement. Almost like Sipowicz saying the N-word.
Right.
But it just,
it wasn't as impactful.
And you don't know who to root for.
Exactly.
You don't know what they're trying to say. You're just kind of like... That's another thing. Would you say that there's a... even though I kind of just shat on it for a minute, is there a decent representation of people on the show? Because you said you are, in fact, Mexican.
Yes, I am. If I'm not, I'd be surprised. News to me.
Because as a white dude, I can't speak for other people, how they're represented right on a show. Would you say, from what you saw, like, people are decently represented, even though you can't say you represent homosexuals or even different types of Hispanic?
Right. I think they actually portrayed the minority pretty well. I mean, the fact that Arthur Fancy, again, a complicated name, as I remember.
how do you pronounce Fancy?
I think the fact that being a black man in a position of being the chief of police or the lieutenant
of a precinct.
Yeah. I think that just shows that they really aren't trying to have a bias in that. And then even with John as a PA, being a regular in the show, and him being also kind of PC with how he interacts with people. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned it, Sipwitz's wife at the time, the Hispanic woman.
Simone's
Simone's friend. The one that helped him with the...
Smith's wife.
I think she said it, like, how she said that, like, yeah, for me to be at this position as a woman and as a Hispanic, mm-hmm. I think it's like, that's a good portrayal. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you think about it, you don't see a lot of kind of women in those higher rankings.
Especially in New York.
Exactly.
And the NYPD.
And then also with the Chinese or Korean that he was speaking, that they brought in.
Oh, shoot. Was it Harold?
Yes. Maybe.
Because that guy was... Oh, I love that guy.
He was good.
When they bring the Chinese interpreter guy.
Exactly. And I think even like bringing him on and having him there, I think they do a good like visual of that. Mm-hmm. Granted, as the convicts or the criminals, I would say, in the show, they're diverse in themselves. Like, you'll have a white man, I want to say, in one of the cases, he was gay, and, like, supposedly someone took pictures of him, and so he killed everyone else, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna get off, man, I'm get off, and then his dad comes in, like, no, you're not, like...
I think his message was like, we'll get you a lawyer, but you're not allowed in our house ever again.
Exactly.
And that's one of the cool things about the show, because you mentioned Arthur Fancy.
Yeah.
Who, he's a lieutenant, and he is a black man, and then you find out, I think it's season two, his boss is racist.
Yeah.
Like, when, because he uses, that guy, Joey Pantoliano's character, I can't remember his name now, they use him to record his boss saying, like, oh, I just need you to trick him so I can get him fired.
Right.
And then he lets him listen to the recording and says, you're either going to retire or you're going to be brought up on charges.
Mm.
Which was, like, it was such a cool thing because, oh, wow, he got over on the white guy. It was because he, as a very intelligent and very good investigator and cop, was like, what happens if I just bring this to light? And then it becomes a white versus black thing in the department.
Right.
If he just leaves, then I get rid of the guy that's the problem.
Okay.
And I think Fancy is proven through the show that he's not just the black cop or the black lieutenant. He's a really, really good police officer.
Yeah. I even think in the last episode you pointed out very beautifully of how he took care of the whole missing gun case for Sipowicz. How even, like, he brought over the suspect. He's like, hey, take me to the gun. How do I know you're not going to shoot me? Well, bring your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You'll give me the gun and you walk. Nothing happens.
He's also a good boss in a weird way, because he's like, I have this guy Sipowicz who does a really good job if he's focused.
Right.
Sometimes he gets messed up, you know, and he becomes impossible to work with and he doesn't get anything done. But if I can get him on the right path, he does great work.
Right.
So I'll try to get that done. Where another guy in his position might be like, no, he's racist, get him the fuck out of here.
Or he's a drunkard. I can't have him compromise any cases.
It seems like, especially with the homosexuality thing, it seems like the show wanted to make those points. Because they have black characters that show up and they're like college grads.
Right.
Who are, like, well, they're wearing the glasses and the sweater, and then they said, what, so I'm black, so I have to know guys that would rob white women?
I remember that episode.
And he gets indignant, which then pisses off Sipowicz, because of his issues.
Right.
And then they start arguing for completely the wrong reasons.
Exactly.
And I feel like they do that really well. But then when you shift to, like, homosexuals, because they don't really know that experience, it's harder for them to make it make sense.
Right.
So that's, I think, it, I mean, as a white dude, I wouldn't know. It seems to be represented fairly well, especially for the 90s.
But I think so.
But some of the gay stuff on there is like...
It's a little iffy. Like, especially like the episode of Oscar Mayer and Wiener.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of like, we have a playwright who was robbed of a... Was it a Tony or an Emmy or...
Oh, it was an Oscar.
An Oscar, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be gay, and he's like, oh, I just have guys come over and...
I meet random dudes, and then we bang, and I give them drugs, and then they leave.
Yep. And I think it's like, okay, like, it's an Oscar. He's a writer. It's like, it seems like a well-off stereotypical kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Like, if he's into that kind of, like, the acting, it feels like that's a stereotype itself, so...
Yeah, they just do some strange... They make some strange decisions regarding the gay people on their show. Let's see. Those are most of my questions.
Okay.
I will ask, what are you looking forward to on the show? Like, as you've been through three seasons, mm-hmm. you know that at the end of season three, Sipowicz is back on the wagon.
Right.
Simone is established as his partner.
Right.
I did spoil that Lesniak's not going to be there. But
is that really a spoiler? Is it an important spoiler? That's a better question.
Yeah, exactly. So, what do you hope to see out of these characters as we go forward? And I'll try my best not to ruin that for you.
I think it'll be interesting to kind of see Sipowicz evolve even further mm-hmm. from where he is now to who he's going to be at the end of season 12. Because how many more hardships can you give that man? You see him a recovering alcoholic. He's doing well. Panics about getting married. He's got a wife. New wife.
New son.
New son, which actually, can I point out the fact that when he's, after Andy Jr.'s death, that whole scene in the apartment, mm-hmm. it bugged me that they didn't call the baby his name, which was Leo or something.
Oh, Theo.
Theo, yeah.
Yeah, they don't say Theo at all.
No, and I feel like that was a writer's thing, like, we don't know what to name the baby, because they... Throughout the whole scene, he's like, be with the baby. Like, no, stay with the baby. The baby, the baby, the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, like, why is he only referring to the baby? Or it's like, why don't you stay with Theo and take care of him? Because if you're going to be a parent, you want to address, like, that name of the baby.
Yeah.
It bugged me. It just bugged me.
I also, as a person who knew that, like, before that baby was even born, I was like, oh, it's Theo. It's right. The baby Theo.
But as for me,
yeah, like you were,
it's like, what's the baby's name? And I don't figure it out until Diane says, oh, I'm going to go see Theo and Sylvia.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, oh, so that's the baby's name.
Yeah, that's something that I forgot as we were moving forward from the beginning. Because you never see, you see Sipowicz, he was never really a dad because when Andy Jr. was born,
right,
he was never around.
Mm-hmm.
So now, going forward, he's going to have to be a dad for the first time.
Right.
Without drinking, which is going to be...
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then, I would say one of the things I do hope for, not as a character of the show or anything, I just want there to be a stable camera. I know I've brought this up to you a couple times, but if you watch it on Hulu, when they're on a character, you see a slight swivel.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just trying to stabilize it? Are they trying to give it a special effect? Or... That kind of just bugged me as a viewer. Sometimes I can tune it off, but sometimes I'll notice that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on, guys.
It's the 24 effect, man. They just got to keep the camera moving. You know, nothing's happening. Yeah, that's something I don't even notice anymore, but I think they keep it that way for the entire time.
Okay.
That's probably why I don't even notice it, just because mm-hmm. it's just how the show is.
I would say also maybe seeing the whole Diane and Simone relationship progress. Mm-hmm. Because even that has been a little complicated
very
from the beginning. You see her as an alcoholic, and then she goes through AA, and her dad was murdered by her mom.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting topic, because her mom got off with manslaughter for self-defense, and I don't know, in the episode prior to that, you see her kind of very defensive of her dad, like, hey, dad, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of almost downplaying it when her brother knows exactly what's happening. Stole the gun for that reason
mm-hmm.
as self-defense. It was interesting to see that. So,
yeah, that was also, I guess that's another question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that department as corrupt as a completely impartial observer would? Because I mean, I know these characters, we've watched them forever.
Right.
But the idea of, like, okay, so you mean to tell me, detective in this precinct, her brother stole the gun that his mom used to kill her dad.
Right.
And they don't want to have any investigation whatsoever. Which is like, what? And this is also the same precinct where, the very first season, John Kelly was wrapped up in the murder of Marino by his girlfriend.
Right.
At the time, because of a hit that was put out on
him. Right.
If you were to just observe, it's pretty shady the entire time.
A little bit. But, I wouldn't say it's super shady about that. I think one of the saving graces of that would be when Simone's friend got, like, hooked up with all these, like, drug accusations because of his nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And him saying, like, hey, I need you not to do this. Like, don't be there or whatever. And then his friend comes back and is like, oh, you can fix this, right? Like, you should have told me a day, but you can fix this for me, right?
Yeah, okay, that's true.
And then Simone's like, no, you're going to need a lawyer for this. I can't do any more for you. It seems more like they want to take care of the, kind of like you've said throughout several episodes, I would say, the police watch out for themselves because mm-hmm. they're a family. But I don't think they look out for, like, friends and associates as much, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. Because sometimes they'll let guys just, like, go with whatever's going to happen to them.
Right.
Martens, who you probably don't know his name very well. Martens is the IAB guy, Internal Affairs Bureau guy, who shows up every time there's something might be corrupt.
Yes, and I think it was that one PA that was in there for like two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and she's like, oh, so-and-so, you're a PA and all that. He's like, yeah, thanks for telling me about my job.
Well,
and it continues. Is that him?
No, that's a ADA, Assistant District Attorney. That's Cohen. Martens, because he's not a very big character, Martens, but he's basically the detective that comes in every time there's a internal affairs issue.
Okay.
And I love his character so much because as the show goes on, because he's the guy that during that whole story with Simone's friend who had the nightclub, and then he gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And then Simone finds out that there's an open investigation against him because of this, like, one thing that he doesn't know anything about.
Right.
I think he was being followed because his new partner, while Andy was away, is, like, hooked up on something.
Okay.
The point is, Martin shows up to him and says, by the way, you should know that when your buddy went to jail, he contacted me about putting you up for the time that you got rid of his drugs.
Oh.
And he goes, really? He's like, am I under investigation? He's like, we look at the facts. It didn't seem like a good use of our time. Just wanted to let you know that we don't always go after everybody. And walks away. Martens is a guy to look after. I will give you, it's kind of a spoiler, but not really. Martens is the guy who is, he works for the Rat Squad IAB, but he's probably one of the best reoccurring characters.
Okay.
Because they just shit on him all the time. It's like, oh, the Rat Squad, he's here to arrest one of us. But every time he's like, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm not here to take everybody to jail. I just want to know what's going on.
Right.
But he's there from season 2 to, I think, season 11.
Okay.
And he's a fantastic character. But since you don't remember him that well, I can't ask any more specific questions about
him. Sorry about that.
But it's more of, does this place seem corrupt with all the crazy shit that goes down?
I wouldn't say so.
Mm.
I mean, again, I would reestablish that it's more cops watching out for cops. Okay. It's not like cops' friends or like cops looking out for their friends,
mm-hmm.
but maybe for their family with the case of Diane and her parents. But then again, there is a lot more legalities of her being possibly going into court and how the DA wanted to press charges and all that. And you kind of see that tension with throughout the episode when they're like saying, like, oh, my mom may go into court, she's having panic attacks, all this and that. So
I can't remember anything else that I may have wanted to ask you.
Oh, you're not even going to give me the top three or the big three?
Big three.
Mary Bankill?
No. Oh, if I wanted to do that.
Oh.
Because Because, yeah, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah, within the expanse of three seasons. There's a lot of women.
Well, obviously, Diane would be up there. So it's Diane.
That's a...
Sylvia. Or... And you can't really do Abbandando because she's already gone.
Yeah.
Have we met Fancy's wife?
We do when she gives birth to the child.
But then we haven't seen her since then.
Right.
Doesn't really count. I could just be a jerk and be like, and John.
I married that man in a heartbeat. He'll treat you well. I mean, he took his mother to Fire Island.
Yes, he did. He also...
I just laughed at that scene. I was like, does she even understand what that means, or...
To give you a preview of the episode, that scene where they have that party.
Right.
Simone walks in. John's mother, and Russell all make eyes at Simone at the same time.
Oh.
That is unprecedented amount of action that dude's getting. Where he got a dude, the dude's mother, and his girlfriend all staring at him, basically wanting a piece of that.
Now my question is, do you think David Caruso's character could have had the same reaction?
Well, I mean, if they forced the actresses to do so. Okay, John's mom. So we have Sylvia, Russell, or John's mom.
Oh, man.
Keep in mind, she's an old woman, so you'd be murdering an old woman.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
You have to have that on your soul. She's done enough living.
That's a hard one. Given the three, well, I mean, let me ask, how rich is John's mom?
Is John's mom?
That's a factor in this.
I don't know, we only see her for a couple minutes, and she wasn't wearing anything extravagant.
If she has a good life insurance policy, then I'd probably marry her.
Fair.
You know, it's hard because Sylvia and Diane, I mean, they're both pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But what person do I want to piss off? Do I want to piss off Simone or Sipowicz?
I'd rather piss off Simone than Sipowicz.
Exactly. You know what? Even then. I mean, he cracked a dude's skull in for even suspecting he killed Sipowicz's.
Well, he did that. So, he did that because the dude was about to pull a gun on him.
But then again, is that more so because he was pulling the gun or more so
it's up
he was a suspect? Which actually does remind me of a question, but I'll save that for later.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I'll probably kill Sylvia.
All right.
Yeah, I mean...
Are you going to kill Diane?
We'll die, yeah. I mean, let's add a little more trauma to Sipowicz's life. Why not?
Why not?
But that reminded me of a question that I had for you. I know at the end of season 3, or in the latest episode, you were saying that Sipowicz went up to Simone and said, I don't care what happens, I want these guys dead.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that played into Simone's character later on as seasons to come?
No.
Okay.
I think because of the way Simone reacted to that situation, because Simone very well was within his right to shoot those two dudes in that storage container. He didn't because he needed to prove that those guys were actually the guys.
Right.
And he made efforts in the episode to make sure that Sipowicz did not know where those dudes were, and that Sipowicz couldn't get himself into trouble.
Okay. But my question is more so of the actual shooting. Do you think, instead of actually saying, like, police freeze?
The actual shooting where they shot the guy.
Yes. Do you think that is going to play an implication of him actually committing the kill?
I don't think so, too. I think it was they always say the phrase a good shoot. I think it was a good shoot because those dudes drew down, both those guys drew down on him. Okay. And he's also thinking this, like, the guys in the storage container, it's only him and those two dudes in the storage container.
Right.
These two dudes are on the street. They were roughing up that Asian dude.
Right.
And then they pushed him out of the way. They could start taking hostages. I mean, overthinking 101, but I think he was doing it because he's like, this situation, I gotta put these guys down regardless.
Right.
If they did it, if they didn't do it, we don't have anything else to do that could help these people. So I think that moment where he said, I want those guys dead, I think Simone just knew he's really beaten up by this and he should really just go home.
Okay.
But that's not how Sipowicz operates. He has to do everything himself.
Exactly.
Which is why he's he starts drinking and starts spiraling out of control. But yeah, there's some Sipowicz and Simone moments that are, because like you think about it, these guys have known each other for what, 2 years,
right?
And now he was the best man at the wedding because mm-hmm. John couldn't show up conveniently.
Yeah, conveniently.
And now they're like super buddy buddy, but
right.
I don't know. He's still learning about Sipowicz and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So,
and that the fact that you said Simone and Sipowicz moments, my question is for you now, as an avid viewer and everything like that, kind of like we see a lot of like Sipowicz kind of like even acting out like certain things to get like an answer, mm-hmm. like the one scene where he was supposed to be quote unquote a cannibal, mm-hmm. and like messing with that one guy, and then even earlier on we see Medavoy pretending to be a like to have done like a scam.
Yeah, he's a scam.
Out of all kind of like everything so far within the first three seasons, there's probably a couple more that I'm not remembering. Which one stood out to you the most?
Where he pretends to be something,
or like they do a unorthodox method of getting the truth from a suspect.
The ones that stick out to me the most are the ones where they flat out lie to get something. No, there are times where like they trick them and they say, we're allowed to not tell you the truth if we can get to the answer that we need to prove right. something happened. Because if you're innocent, it's not going to matter for you. But if you're guilty, you're going to deny that information.
Exactly.
Those always strike me because it kind of then turns into a what are you allowed to do and not allowed to do in terms of deceiving someone.
Right.
And then the other stuff that sticks out to me all the time, which, I mean, I guess makes me a bleeding heart liberal, is every time they really get to beating on someone.
Right.
Because there's episodes, and you can attest, where they'll, like, smack a guy because they're being disrespectful.
Yeah.
It happened in the last episode with Tobin Bell, who plays Jigsaw, a famous face.
Oh, right.
Where he gets really lippy, and then Sipowicz just, like, hauls off and smacks him really hard. Mm-hmm. But then there are times where it's like the guy's not paying attention, so like they like tap him or they like mess with him. But then there are times where they literally just drag the guy off of his chair or slam him up against a wall.
Right. Or and even, what do you think about the time when the suspect got shot? He's in the hospital, mm-hmm. but they pull him to the side where he's obviously wounded. It's holding him there until he finally answers all their questions.
Yeah. There's also the time where they had a guy who they were like, we'll take him to the hospital. Then they just pulled off into an alley and started interrogating him while he needed to go to a hospital. Mm-hmm. It's that stuff always kind of makes me, and it always goes back to one of the first episodes with John and Martinez, where Martinez is like, so how do you know when you can hit a guy? Mm-hmm. And he says, I've never laid my hands on somebody I know when I know they didn't do it.
Right.
But then there are episodes with, and I don't remember the character's name, where they had a guy who's like not as good as a detective as them, and he just straight up says like, yeah, I've had this guy 3 times in here, and I beat him to a pulp, and he still hasn't said anything. And then you see that guy later, and he is just messed up, because he's been beat up 3 times by this guy. It's not so much I'm upset that they did it, it's like, how and when is it okay for you guys to do that?
Right.
And it seems like with Sipowicz, it's like, if I know you hurt a kid or a woman,
right,
and I know you did it, then all bets are off. But he also, it's hard. I mean, now I'm on a rant about the thing I don't know the point. But like, one of the best Sipowicz moments I think ever that really highlighted what a great detective he is when there was the child molester who killed that kid and left him in a field.
I was going to say.
And then he doesn't get angry with the guy. He just lets him explain what happened. When Sipowicz, one of the things is you don't mess with kids.
Right.
If he finds out kids have been hurt, then he goes into beast mode, Sipowicz, and he just starts going crazy.
Right.
So it's weird because he seems to have restraint, but also what he's doing seems, like, deplorable. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that, like, when they straight up lie or when they straight up beat people is when it's like, I don't know about this, guys.
But right.
They get their dude most of the time.
Exactly.
It's just kind of...
And then even when Sipowicz was talking with this one guy who... He's like, oh, I know like a child molester when I see one. Mm-hmm. And this guy was suspected of pushing kids off a balcony after molesting him. And then the guy kept on denying. And then he's like, hey, if you talk now, you may have a good deal. And he's like, well, how much time? And then, like, you see him open up into that. And even in that, you don't see Sipowicz rough him up at all. Mm-hmm. It's more of a straightforward interrogation.
Yeah. It's strange how they pick who they're going to do that to.
Right.
But then it's like, how is that okay? If you can do it without... If you can get it without doing that, then why is it that you sometimes have to?
Exactly.
So it's, you know... And that one line in the very first season, because that's... That, I feel like, you could take that line from John Kelly and you could just put it on, like, every anti-fascist billboard or police brutality protest. I've never put my hands on a guy unless I know he did it. But that sentence in and of itself is, according to my perception, this guy did it.
Right.
Which is, like, you can't be the judge, jury, and executioner on that.
Exactly.
So it's...
And he even breaks the phrase, innocent until proven guilty.
Because, yeah, it's like, I know he did it, so I'm just going to have at it.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, the show makes you ask questions.
It does. It really does. Especially watching it now, seeing like, mm-hmm. what they were able to get away with in the 90s, as opposed to what's allowed or permissible nowadays.
Yeah, it's also insane when you realize, like, halfway through an episode, it's like, they don't have the internet. Like, they don't have...
Right.
They don't have the same forms of communication we do. So, like, when they went... to the corner, the street corner, and just pulled this guy off the street and put him into a car. There's not people taking video of them doing this.
Right.
So, like, one of my favorites is when he's telling Andy Jr., like, they have him going to a motorcycle club to pick up this guy named Pig, mm-hmm. and they just roll up, and they're like, we need to talk to Pig. And he's like, he doesn't have to go with you. And he's like, okay, do you want us to toss your house and take all your stuff? And it's like, you just came here to ask a guy a question. Like, right. you, there's no other reason for you to be here.
And exactly.
It makes you ask questions. Makes you think. But
and then even how the people that are even willing to learn a little bit more about their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you even mentioned it. The one black student that said, "Oh, just because I'm black,
mm-hmm.
I know all these gangbangers and all that."
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even now, like a day nowadays. You can talk to the same kind of person. It's like, I know my rights. I don't have to say anything until
mm-hmm.
ABC. And even, like, the current cop shows today, when they're being interrogated, or it's like, hey, when you see this, no, you won't until you have a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that often in NYPD Blue.
Never. And there are very few moments, but it does happen, where they go up to a door and they're like, hey, do you hear screaming? And they're all like, no. He's like, yeah, I hear screaming. And then they open the door.
Yeah.
Because if they walk by and they happen to hear it, and they have corroboration from other cops saying that they did, mm-hmm. then they can enter. Which is like, okay, but if you get in there and that guy's not doing anything,
right?
What happens then? then that guy gets to file a complaint and say they right. broke down my door for no reason.
It even kind of goes into the hot topic of right now, mm-hmm. of the one guy that got shot in his own household mm-hmm. and was found with marijuana, and the police officer got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another issue.
Yeah, that's a very anger-inducing issue exactly. with a lot of people. Hey, you know what? The guy didn't listen to her when that person broke into his house and then drew a gun on him. So apparently he deserves to be shot.
Apparently.
Whew. Anyways. I don't know if we should end on that note. It's pretty low.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's the other thing that, like, and I thought about this as a joke. They're like, okay, they found weed in that guy's house. I was like, that must make stoners who just sit home all day feel great about themselves. Hey, a cop might accidentally break into your house and shoot you, and then guess what? They'll get away with it because you smoke weed in your house.
Exactly.
That's insane. NYPD Blue. It's yeah, a great show.
It is.
Are you going to keep watching?
I'm taking a little bit of a break now. That's fair. But there's just so much that I've kind of binged into within the Because the last time I talked to you, I was like, oh, I have like so many episodes. And then a weekend, I just blew right through them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take your breaks here and there. You have to take a breather from it. Because there's only so much Sipowicz that you can watch. Mm-hmm. Only so much of Simone. The drama, the love life, everything. That you have to kind of like step back and be like, okay, this is its own world.
Yeah, because sometimes like the relationships, they seem really like out there and confusing.
Yeah.
Especially rewatching them, like, isn't this the woman that you like insulted outside of the courthouse and now you're just like together?
And you have a baby.
Yeah, it gets out there.
Baby Theo. Or just in the episode the baby.
what are you watching now instead of NYPD Blue?
Right now I just finished up a series of unfortunate events on Netflix.
Oh,
great show. The last couple episodes, they have Robbie Amell in there. He was in a he was in The Flash as Adam, mm-hmm. randomly. So I'm just, oh, big names here. Other than that, I've been watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen 2. Big fan of cooking. Big fan of Alton Brown.
Cutthroat Kitchen 2.
Oh, it's such a good show.
CK2. Sorry, I don't know.
Oh, not 2. It's just Cutthroat Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
There's no 2. There's no 2.
It's not season 2.
But, yeah, I mean, just kind of like a little bit more of like the real shows. Kind of mm-hmm. like, well, Series Unfortunate, that's not real, but Cutthroat Kitchen, like a real tangible, like, this is a cooking show with real people. And mm-hmm. But, yeah, sometimes you need a break from the fiction to get back into reality.
Sounds good. I mean, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AshBrothersPodcast.com.
This is true.
It's on iTunes and Stitcher and where you find a podcast. Yep. We're on Twitter at AshBrosPod, Instagram AshBrosPodcast. Right now, the schedule is every other Tuesday, but you never know what happens, you know. World's an insane place. Screws fall out all the time.
As Jeff Goldblum says, life
finds a way.
Finds a way.
Thank you for being on the show, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
I was happy to talk to someone who's awake. But no, it's cool to get a perspective of someone who hasn't seen the show before.
Right. And the fact that I talked to you beforehand, mm-hmm. even before even watching this, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm thinking about watching this. And then I listened to your podcast. And then I watch a show.
Yeah,
it seems like everything was backwards.
For sure, because I told my brother when we first started, I was like, I don't know if anybody would start watching the show mm-hmm. if they listened to our show. But I think people would listen to our show if they're like, I just want to talk to somebody about the show. Because
right.
it's not a show that's very popular. It's not like you can go to the internet and there's an NYPD Blue
mm-hmm.
subreddit. It's all Stranger Things and Breaking Bad and all that stuff. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And I still think it's funny that I initially told you about the podcast. It was through our friend Emily.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, Ben's listening to your podcast. And you're like, whatever, he's not.
No,
so
yeah.
She sent you a picture of that. So
because I was like, there's no way. I like, even though I see how many downloads we get, I was like, no one's listening. It's like I'm in the background as they're doing the hard right. work. Anyway, have a good one. Watch more NYPD Blue.
I will do that.
And peace.
All right, thanks.
No, thank you, Ben, for your time and your effort watching and talking NYPD Blue. I talked about where you can listen to the show, but please go to those services and rate and review the show. The more you rate and review, the more the show gets seen on lists and stuff. I don't expect to beat Martin Maron, but I would like to hear other people talking about NYPD Blue. It's a great show. It deserves to be talked about. And there might be a reboot on the way, so why not get them to watch the original? There's Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, or True Blue, written by the show's creators and consultants about the first 2 seasons. If you need more blue in your life, that requires reading. And hey, if you need to watch NYPD Blue, it's on Amazon, it's on Hulu, and they got tons of other good stuff on there for you to watch if the blue isn't your style, but it'll be your style. It's everybody's style. It's great. Why am I talking so fast? Am I a carnival barker? Am I trying to sell you a car or insurance? I don't know, but watch NYPD Blue and listen to more NYPD Blue Balls. Bye. Why am I agitated?